until we finished this officiating, I was actually planning on asking you for a divorce.
Oh, yeah. Shucks.
But now we're good.
Dear Shandy.
Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
A little tired, but feeling good. Feeling relieved.
Yes. Yeah. We are a little pooped. We just arrived back from Savannah last night. We're recording this on Tuesday morning. This will come out on Thursday morning. The wedding we officiated, which is what this episode is all about, was on Saturday evening. Mm. Nick Vile and Natalie Joy, now Vile's wedding. And it was such an honor. And we truly had never intended to make an episode about this. Like, it actually feels weird.
In fact, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I felt kind of, when people first started asking, I was like, why would we do that? And then it was just like, people would not stop asking for this type of episode. So we just succumbed.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, we could have had a caller episode in this slot.
It was supposed to be a caller episode.
Yeah, people would be like, hey, you're having too many caller episodes. So now you got one less caller episode.
Well, no, that caller episode's getting bumped.
Yes.
It will still come out. But it's funny, like, it was supposed to be a caller episode. But you know, this felt like, you know, while the iron is hot, we just officiated the wedding. And, you know, it'll also serve, this isn't really meant to be like tea. It's more so meant to be like, wow, we officiated a wedding and we had never done that before. And I think this is something that's going to keep happening more and more because it's now more and more common to just ask a really dear friend to officiate
your wedding. Wait, so Shandy's going to start officiating weddings now?
Shandy, us?
That's Shandy.
Or Shandy's.
No, Shandy. This Shandy. The Shandy sitting right on the couch. Or shit.
Well, that is a question we will get to. But first, this is just about the idea of officiating a wedding for a friend. And maybe we can give some tips or just talk about our experience.
Yeah, it was a momentous experience. So I think it's worthy of an episode. It wasn't a planned episode, but you know what? I approve of this.
And we're trying to lean more and more into what you guys want.
Yeah.
So fewer caller episodes. Although, you know, caller episodes have a very passionate minority audience.
Yeah, there are going to be some people who are really pissed off about what we're saying about caller episodes. They're going to come defend. People who usually defend us are now going to defend the caller episodes against us.
Oh, but I love caller episodes.
I do too.
Yeah.
But we've gotten a lot of people just like, fewer caller episodes. Don't
people
seem
to want episodes of just the two of us, which is funny.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what that is.
Okay. Can you tell we're like really loopy? It's been a weekend. Okay. So let's get going. So I've divided the questions into different categories and we will start with, predictably, officiating.
Oh, right. Ooh, that thing. Yeah.
So how and when did Nick and Natalie ask you to be officiants? And what was your initial reaction?
All right. So Nick and Natalie were coming to the city to do their recreation of their first meeting, correct?
Weekend, yeah. Their which first is, weekend by the way, together, also
super cute.
Super cute and shows what a romantic Nick is.
Oh, yeah.
He surprise planned an entire trip to New York to recreate the weekend where they
and
met.
Despite what you think about Nick, not you, but you, he is the biggest softy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like a full on, like, Mr. Softy on a hot day. Uh-huh. Like, melting down your hand.
Yeah, yeah, dripping.
I don't ever let that happen because I can't lick my hand. So I'm always racing to lick off the bottom before it starts dripping.
You know,
my hand.
I don't think anyone wants ice cream dripping onto their hand.
No, that's true.
That ruins the ice cream experience, in my opinion.
It really does. Yeah. Ice cream is not well served off skin. Anyway.
So how do they ask us? This is a disaster.
No, it's not. So they're doing this romantic weekend. Mm-hmm. And part of that weekend is meeting us in the park, which they did.
Central Park.
To play Frisbee.
Yes.
They did that on their first weekend.
We did it with them.
With them.
It was our idea.
It was our idea, we did it.
Yeah. And so when they came back to recreate it, they were like, we're going to meet in the park again and throw Frisbee.
That was in the schedule.
Yes, in the schedule.
So they met us in Central Park and we went to the Sheep's Meadow.
Which was different actually from the first.
It was a little different, but it's still the same
we
park.
We did the great lawn it's the first same time, park. But okay.
Different lawn. So we met there. We threw some Frisbee.
Yeah.
And we sat down. We were chatting.
In the grass.
And we were having a lovely time. Really lovely. And Nick said, so we have a question for you guys. And I was just like, whoa, this feels important. And he said, we want you guys to officiate our wedding.
And then our reaction? I mean, I was immediately like, oh my God. I started crying. Yeah, I was very honored.
I was kind of in shock.
Yeah. Andy was quiet speechless. For a moment, actually.
Yeah. I was thinking, like me, just because I'm neurotic and I think logistics before emotions sometimes.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's a big deal. That's a lot of work. I was like, do I want to take this job? No. And then I was just suddenly like, of course, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was no answer to give other than yes.
Of course.
But it was funny because you had the initial reaction of like, oh, the undertaking hit you first before the emotion hit me first. And then I think even like that evening, I was like, oh, wow, that is like, that's going to be. But, you know, this was a long time ago. This was like, what, May?
This was May, yeah.
May, June, May. Of last May. Year. Yeah, it was like spring of 2023.
Almost a year ago.
So they gave us plenty of notice. Plenty of this time. Was not a last minute thing.
I mean, it was like the same thing. If someone came up to you and said, hey, we'd like you to host the Academy Awards next year. Like, would you immediately be like, oh my God, yes. You'd have to think. You'd be like, whoa, that's a...
Oh, I would lead with emotion first and then be like, oh, I got to start planning.
And I would do the exact opposite.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact you just compared their wedding to the Academy Awards.
I mean, for us it is.
Okay. How did you guys make the decision to officiate as a couple?
We were asked to officiate as a couple.
Yeah. I just thought I'd include that in case if there was any mystery. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, they asked us together. How do you double officiate? Was one of you the official on paper officiant?
I would like to announce that I am an ordained minister. So
I kind of, you know, I kind of wish that we had both done it now. No. So the way this came out actually is during our preparations, for some reason, just because almost every wedding I've been to, they had gotten, you know, they had officially signed the document that morning or already done City Hall recently or something. Like even us, when we had our wedding, we had already been married, right? And so I think a little late in the process, I was like, you guys will already be married, right? Like, we're not actually marrying you. And Nick's like, no, you're marrying us. And so then we're like, oh, wait, we need to get like a Georgia.
Documents.
Yeah, yeah. And we were visiting your mom at the time. And I was kind of stressed out about that. Yeah. Like, I was like, wait, this is like throwing a wrench. Like, do we have the time? Blah, blah, blah. And it turns out we did at the time because this is ridiculously quick. But you just started Googling it and filling out the form and then you got it. And then we were like, okay, we did it.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of regret not also doing it on my end because I just feel like they asked both of us and I wish we had both become official.
Well, you wanted to save the $60.
It honestly, the $60 isn't funny. Like the $60 at the time, I was like, well, why do we both need to do it? It wasn't even a consideration. It was like, oh, you did it. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you know what that says? Is that we're like the same person. Like, I felt like because you had done it, we both had done it. But let me tell you, when it came time to sign that marriage license, the night of their wedding, and it was you with the pen, I was like, wow.
Aw. Now only one of us is a man of the cloth.
Let me tell you, like that $60, I should have spent it. Yeah. And it wasn't, I don't want to make it sound like I'm that cheap. It's just like, it just felt like unnecessary, which it technically was. Would you have accepted this honor from any couple in your life or did it take a special one?
Ooh, there's definitely not accepted from any couple.
Yeah. I think that after having gone through it, I feel... it would have to be a special couple.
Has to be a special couple.
And I say that like because the first couple that asked us was a special couple to us and it felt like a particular honor in their case. I do feel though that if, you know, a sort of acquaintance level couple had asked us beforehand and we didn't really know quite what we were getting into, we might have said yes.
Yeah, and we would have regretted it.
Yeah, now we definitely feel special couple.
Yeah, definitely special. Extremely special.
All right, next question. What a huge undertaking. How did you prepare and how much time did it take? I feel like we started pretty soon after they asked us, so almost a year in advance, but not in a sit down and let's start writing kind of way, more in a whenever anything occurs to us, we either text it to ourselves or put it in our notes in our phone. And so sometimes we would be at dinner and suddenly be on a roll of thoughts. And so we'd spend half of our dinner just like saying things to each other and typing it out just to have. And actually that was really helpful because we did that over the course of like honestly, like 8 months.
Yeah.
So we had like specific memories or things we wanted to be sure we didn't forget to say about one or the other. And all of those notes got incorporated.
Oh, every single one of them.
Yes.
Not a single one of those got left on the cutting floor.
Yeah. I really highly recommend if anyone's officiating doing that, just immediately starting, you just start chipping away at it like slowly as it comes to your mind. It's almost like making a grocery list.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to forget this. Just quickly type it out to myself. And when it came time to sit down and write, oh my God, like those helped create the, I would say even like the blueprint of the overall script.
100%. The thing you don't want to feel when you're doing this is sitting down like it's a work assignment. Like it's like your job has asked you to fill out a report
or
on something and you're just like, oh, I'm dreading this. You want it to flow because you have little bits to work off.
Yeah.
Of.
Or and you also don't want writer's block. That was a fear.
Well,
I think
thing.
If we had just sat down to a blank Word document, we would have been like,
Yeah, you want it to be, you basically we needed like a framework,
mm-hmm.
a framework of tidbits about them
yeah.
to write it. Otherwise, we would have started getting frustrated. And out of frustration, we may have started writing stuff that was just kind of like filler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think in the beginning, there was a little bit more filler. Like when we first started doing
yeah.
it, there was like, okay, well, we feel like this is typically what is said here. Like we want this to be the overall like shape of that part. But actually in the end, a lot of that fluff got cut out as more and more came to
That's
us.
Exactly right. Basically, it started as like
something
70% fluff.
Yeah.
And then we whittled it down to like 10% fluff.
Barely.
And the 10% fluff was necessary fluff. Like, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. Long time listener, first time caller. I officiated my dear friend's wedding in October and it was overwhelming in every sense of the word. So I can hardly wait to hear your thoughts. What sort of planning, if any, did you do with Nick and Natalie in advance? Did they give you any specific requests of what to include or did they leave the planning mostly to you?
Pretty open-ended.
It was pretty much left to us.
Yeah.
Like Nick, both of them, they were like, one thing they were very clear on is they didn't want anyone else getting up and saying, like reading a poem or singing a song or doing anything. They wanted it to be very simple in that sense. So for better or worse, Nick was like, it's just you.
It's just you. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
But you know, in hindsight, I think they were right.
Oh,
now
totally.
That I think about it, I think back on like, you know, wedding ceremonies I've sat through.
Mm-hmm.
I think usually it's better when it's just the people officiating. Although in our wedding,
I mean, we had people come up.
We had people come up, but I think it worked.
I think that in terms of officiating, it's more helpful if people are coming up and doing things because there's more structure.
Right.
So for example, with ours, when we had our friend Adrian officiate, we were like, okay, well, my friend Kate, who's a wonderful singer, has rearranged, you know, with string quartet, this song from the first musical we ever saw together. What was it?
I saw na 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 na. They were you.
Very nice. Okay, so we had my friend Kate arrange that with string quartet,
yeah,
which was really
beautiful.
Yeah,
and she's such a good singer.
It.
I mean,
oh
she's a
God.
Literal professional,
well,
amazing singer.
I met her at music school, yes. Yeah. She's phenomenal. And we also had some friends come up and say things. So that provided Adrian with like things to work around, obviously, like structure. Yeah. So there was like a lot of freedom for us in that we didn't have any of that to work around, but it was also intimidating,
yes,
I would say.
Yeah.
And as for specific requests, well, we asked about humor.
Yeah. I was like, what percent can be
funny? Yeah. And
or even roasty a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Well, what is, you first said funny and then what type of funny? Like, is it funny? Like we're going to get a chuckle from the audience or is it like roast funny?
Right. And he said pretty much very little roast.
Which I think is fair.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be roasted at your wedding.
We've attended a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a bachelor wedding.
This
is just a friend's wedding. There was a best man speech that was 95% roast, and it gave me chills.
And it was like roast, like it was like Comedy Central, like Jeff Ross roast.
Yeah,
it was
hardcore.
Like, it was me. I was like, oh man, really?
Yeah.
Like, he's your friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that I didn't ever want to happen.
Yeah, but he did want some humor.
Yeah, so I tried to say 50-50 humor, and he took it down 80-20. So I think we compromised.
I think we ended up at around 70-30.
Yeah. So Charlene, wouldn't you say that we care about our hair?
Yeah, I would say we do.
Oh, you now you're being modest?
I'm like, oh, this old thing? Yeah, yeah. No, I really do care about my hair.
Yeah.
I think about my hair.
I think about it.
Yeah.
I want it to be healthy. I want my scalp to be healthy.
Yeah, and I want my hair to look good.
So if we care that much about our hair, why would we use anything but Pros, which gives you bespoke shampoo and conditioner?
Yes. It makes no sense, honestly. Once you go bespoke or custom with your hair care, you don't go back. I no longer am like, oh, I'll just go, you know, to the drugstore and just buy whatever
I'll get
shampoo.
My shampoo.
Yeah.
My conditioner with my name on
it. Literally your name on it, because Pros is custom made to order hair care with your name on it. And they take into account so many different factors when formulating your formula, because you do their in-depth hair consultation online, and they take into account not only like the stats of your hair, your type of hair and how you describe it to be, but also how you would like your hair to be. Plus your location, which is huge, because then that takes into account humidity, your water hardness, mm-hmm. All these things play a role. And I mean, how many other shampoos do that?
And let's talk about fragrance for a second.
Yes.
Everyone wants their hair to smell good. When you meet someone, a new person, and you smell a good hair, aren't you just feeling good about that person, right?
Yeah. Or let's say you are sensitive to fragrance and you don't want it to be scented.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to sacrifice any factors in your actual hair care? You just removed the scent entirely. You can do that with Pros too.
And last but not least, Pros is not just better for you, but it's also better for the planet.
They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral.
So Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin
that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order when you go to pros.com/dearshandy.
So get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/dearshandy.
That's PROSE.com/dearshandy.
So Charlene, guess what I have on the deck?
A tree.
What kind of tree?
A cherry tree.
And what does that cherry tree have on it right now?
Cherry blossoms.
You got it.
A+ student.
Yeah, very nice.
We are obviously talking about fast growing trees right now, but truly this cherry tree is your pride and joy.
I mean, I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
Since I opened that package with that little tree that is now a very tall, fast grown tree.
Yes.
With cherry blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
As promised, they said the first year it would have cherries, and each one of those blossoms, you know what they make?
Cherries.
You got it again.
I'm going to insert a photo right here. Yeah. Of those cherry blossoms.
In case you thought I was lying.
Yeah. And actually this tree, I mean, fastgrowingtrees.com, that is not a misnomer, because this tree has grown so fast that we are also repotting it into a larger planter because it is just growing so fast. In 1 year, it has become the focal point of our deck. Okay, so let's talk about fast growing trees for a minute, because you know, there might be people out there who are like, how do I get my own cherry tree? So Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the US that is pretty massive, and they have over 2 million happy customers. They ship to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, plus free plant consultation forever. They have 10,000 different types of plants, and the best part is you can search by your zip code, so then they will filter based on your location and what plants or fruiting trees or flowering trees or bushes or houseplants would actually survive where you live.
And it's not just plants. I mean, I have to add, I did get our garden hose Fast Growing Trees. And by the way, no lie, the best garden hose I've ever had.
Yeah.
Never tangles. It extends all the way around my deck for over 50 feet. It's my favorite new toy that I have.
And it just showed up one day. I didn't realize that you'd been shopping online, Andy. It's so cute. Like, oftentimes Andy will be scrolling through fastgrowingtrees.com, just seeing the latest wares.
And this is not a lie.
So this spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off select plants and other deals.
And our Shandys get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using code Shandy at checkout.
That's an additional 15% off the sale price at fastgrowingtrees.com using code Shandy at checkout.
Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Shandy.
Offer is available for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You are both naturally pretty funny, but script humor is more difficult. How did you incorporate humor, if at all? I mean, I would agree, script humor is certainly more difficult. I feel like what we did was, I was certainly the one who was more like the writer. Like, I, even though you are a phenomenal writer, I was definitely the one like incorporating those things we had texted ourselves and like creating a shape. Mm-hmm. Like, I was the one doing lots of like Tetris. No, that spot should move there. That spot should move there. And then you came in with your magic wand and found humor. Like, you crafted jokes based on like the context.
Right.
But which was your talent.
But it wasn't that hard, because look, the fact of the matter is, Nick is a funny character.
He is.
You know?
And he would admit it.
And he would admit it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that hard to find the jokes. It was just really more about the timing, like to create, set a punchline, also to space them. Like, we didn't want to have like a whole section of funny and then a whole section of sincere. It was more like funny, sincere, funny, sincere.
Yeah.
I found that the spacing of the jokes was the most challenging part. Like, making sure that we didn't go too long without something light.
Also, we were really, really determined to make it elevated.
Right.
Like, we wanted the ceremony to feel sophisticated and beautiful and like specific to them. And so we wanted that shape, but we also wanted humor to not take itself too seriously, right? So we had some like lowbrow jokes in there mixed with the sort of like highbrow.
Right. There was a joke that there was a joke for everyone in the audience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And interestingly, the audience was from all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was something for everybody and something not for everybody. But I don't want to make it sound like it was not a, like a stand-up thing.
No.
This was like very respectful. The jokes, I felt, I take pride in the fact that I think we weaved these jokes in seamlessly, so it didn't feel like it was like, this is joke time.
No.
It was like, this is a good way to bookend this thing we're talking about with Nick or Natalie.
Yeah, and I mean, the way they were looking at each other, like, this was a truly, like, momentous moment. Like, I'm glad we did not have one more ounce of jokes.
Can I tell you something? When I was telling the jokes, while I was in the moment, telling the joke part of the speech, let's call it a speech. I remember thinking in mid-joke, I was like, thank God we didn't go further than this.
I totally agree. Mm. How much of what you put together did you share with Nick and Natalie beforehand?
Zero.
Yeah, agreed. Did you keep any portion of the ceremony as a surprise for them? 100%.
Everything was a surprise. As a matter of fact, right before we walked out to do this, like 5 minutes before, Nick was like, can I read you some of my vows? And we're like, no, I don't want to hear any of your vows. This is all going to happen when it happens.
Totally. Had either of you officiated a wedding before?
No.
Nope. Since you've known Nick longer, was it difficult to make it feel equally personal for Natalie as well? This was a concern for me. You know what it was? It was not as easy to have jokes for Natalie because we just don't really know Natalie as much in that way. Even, you know what it is? Natalie is the jokester.
Natalie is really funny.
She's super funny.
So it's hard to make jokes about someone who's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Nick is also funny.
Yeah, yeah. He's funny but in a different way.
He's not. Natalie is naturally
Natalie is
funny.
Hilarious.
She's very funny. Yeah. I know people are going to be saying, no, you're just saying
well,
that.
People
no.
love to think what they want to think. But Natalie is truly hilarious.
I have belly laughed at Natalie many times.
Yeah.
But we also have spent far less time with Natalie than we have with Nick.
Yes.
Like a fraction of a fraction of the time.
Totally.
So we just had less to work with. But honestly, Natalie has such strong personality traits that it wasn't that hard.
No.
It was just a little more challenging. Yeah. You had to dig a little deeper.
Yeah. It was more like being observant versus having specific memories.
Yes.
Yeah. But this was a concern. Like, it was something that every time we went through it, I was like, how's the balance? Are we talking about Natalie enough? Like, it was definitely a topic of conversation.
Yes.
Were you nervous? Which Shandy was more nervous? I love that. Which Shandy? Shandy number one or Shandy number two?
Shandy number two was more nervous.
Are you Shandy number two?
I'm Shandy number two. You are a professional singer. Uh-huh. So your ability to handle stage fright is definitely better than mine. I haven't publicly spoken in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the last time I publicly spoke, I think was my dad's eulogy.
Actually, no, it was probably our wedding.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But yeah, I got to say, though, Andy's dad's eulogy, oh my goodness.
No.
It was so beautiful. Not that I was there, but I've read it since. It was so beautiful. I just have to mention that. It struck me. But anyway, I think it was probably our wedding.
But our wedding is different. It's like I'm not like publicly speaking. I'm the guy. It's my thing. It's my party.
Okay.
But yeah, even then there was some pressure, but still I haven't done one of these and I used to do them all the time. And the writing part I was always good at. Mm-hmm. I always knew that I could write a speech. If anything, I actually feel like I wish I had become a speechwriter. I think that was my calling.
Really?
I screwed up. I'm telling you, I know this sounds like I'm boasting about some weird thing.
No.
I should have been a speechwriter. I write a mean speech. Anybody ever needs a speech, call me. We'll talk price. We'll see what happens. Just kidding. Or maybe not. I was good at the writing part. So yeah. I wasn't that nervous about the writing part. I knew we would have a good product in the end. What I was nervous about is that I would get up there in front of all these dignitaries. Uh-huh. And, you know, the press. I mean, the New York Times called us the day before to interview us about it. I mean, there was a lot of pressure here. I was going to get up there in this beautiful setting for this, you know, big event. And I was just going to blank or choke up. Like my mouth was going to get dry. My throat was going to close up. I was very nervous about that.
Yeah.
So in the end, it didn't happen, but I was up until the moment I walked up there and stood up there in front of the audience, I was very nervous.
Yeah. I think my nerves were more so leading up to it. So, and this is how I am with singing too, by the way, like I'll be nervous, nervous, nervous. And then the second I step out on the stage, I'm like,
yes,
I reach this like zen point, but I felt nervous until I felt really confident in our actual script. The actual speech part. And it took months to reach that point. And so I did spend quite a bit of time being nervous, but there was a sort of like tipping point where I started to feel like we had a really good product.
Yeah.
And then we ran it past one friend, only one person we know, shout out Livia, who is a producer and she's a phenomenal writer. And she just helped add one word there and like shape with this one thing. She moved one thing around and it just locked it into place. Highly recommend anyone doing this to have like one trusted friend. Not just trusted, but someone who's actually good at this stuff.
Someone who's good.
Yeah.
Not just trusted.
Yeah. Livia's like actually good. Like she's an actual producer. Yeah,
good
TV
writer,
shows.
Good producer, smart. You gotta pick carefully.
Yeah. And she was just able to come at it with fresh eyes. Yeah. And also her stamp of approval on it really meant a lot to me.
Yes. And I knew that if she didn't think it was good, she would have told us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But I will say this, when I was standing up there, I immediately, like the nerves just melted away when it was just you, me, and Nick, and we were waiting for Natalie. And I was just saying, oh, it's just a bunch of people. You know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I started being like, you know, let me do some of my breathing too, just to get really relaxed. So I did my 4-7-8 breathing, which is great. I do that all the time. Like I do it when I'm on a plane and there's really bad turbulence and it just totally takes my heart rate down. So I started doing that. I was like, oh, nice. Now I'm even getting more relaxed. But then I started thinking about why are you doing 4-7-8 breathing? Like, this must be a big deal. And then I started getting nervous again. I was like, no more breathing, no more breathing. And then it was okay again.
You just gave everyone a little peek into your mind, Andy. Any overall tips or regrets? I do have one. I have a tip, which was actually this. I have to amend an earlier answer where we said, did you run anything past Nick or Natalie? We asked them if they wanted to acknowledge anyone in the family. So anyone who couldn't be there or had traveled really far or had passed away. And they both did have answers to that. So that kind of caught me by surprise. Like I wasn't sure if that would be something they would want because they hadn't mentioned it to us. But when we mentioned it, they were like, oh, actually, like Natalie's grandmother had passed away fairly recently. So they both really were into that. So highly recommend if anyone's officiating to ask that question at the top.
I would also say at the very, very top, say, please be seated.
Oh, that's a regret. Oh, yeah,
that's
I'm
my
so
only
mad.
Regret. I thought it was flawless, except I should have said, please be seated. I just went right into it. And there were people who were still standing. And apparently they stood for a little while.
They stood for several minutes. Yeah, because we never said, please be seated. It
was just weird because there was like this, Natalie and Nick were both standing there. Yeah. They're sitting there holding hands. Everyone's quiet. Waited like a full 20 to 30 seconds of pure quiet. And then I started, and there's still people think that that's not the start. Okay.
Well, some people sat, but because the front row didn't really sit, no one knew if they should sit or not. I have such a regret over that. When I realized that, I was like, damn it, it was too late then.
I mean, it's not a heavy regret. It's very slight.
Well, and then my other slight regret is, and I didn't know this, again, didn't know, but apparently for that shot, that You May Now Kiss the Bride, we're supposed to go, which we didn't.
No one told us that.
No one told us that. I guess I don't know. No, I didn't know.
I mean, come on. Although I am an ordained minister, I guess I should know that. They didn't teach that in the ordained ministry course.
Thankfully, they didn't seem to notice. Plus, that kiss was messed up anyway. Not their kiss, but the doves were supposed to come out.
Oh, right. The doves came out late, but they wouldn't leave the box.
I think they couldn't get the box open.
Oh, they couldn't get the box open.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So Nick dipped Natalie for another kiss on the way back out down the aisle. And then that's when the doves came out. And we were, like tiny at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think anyone's worried about how many photos or money shots there are of these two from their wedding day.
There's money shots as far as the eye can see.
Galore. But yeah, when I heard that afterwards, I was like, I was mad at myself, but that's just how I am. I always focus on what I did wrong. Okay. Did it make you nostalgic for your own wedding day? I'm curious about your answer to this. I know my answer.
You know, that's a really interesting question.
Oh, wow. You're really giving this weight.
No, I'm really trying to think about this because I know I had fleeting. I was just so I was so obsessed with making sure I did this right.
Yes.
That I was so in the zone.
We both were.
That I wasn't thinking. I wasn't having moments where I was like, I was just like, do this.
Yes.
Do this right.
Until it was done. Until and then we were like, okay, now we can relax.
What I will say is in the middle of the ceremony, like right in the dead middle, I was like, we got this. Like, this is going to go well. Mm-hmm. My nerves were completely gone. If anything, I was almost like annoyed that I was nervous because I felt so good about it that I wanted to just be like loose and like
and happy
free.
To be there like really in the moment. I was there was a point during the ceremony where I was like in the moment, like looking at their faces, looking at them, looking at each other.
Well, that's the thing. It was like there was one part where I felt the wind blowing, I saw the faces, I saw them, I saw the tears on their cheeks, and like time just stopped.
Yeah.
And I was able to just sit there and almost freeze time.
Yeah.
And just be like, wow, what a beautiful moment. And I started like looking around and like hearing things and seeing. There was almost like a psychedelic experience.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I realized that you were actually really coming close to finishing your part. And I didn't know where I was on the page. And I was like, oh. But for that moment, I was not about true presence.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not thinking about our wedding or anything. I was able to literally just be like, wow, I feel so good to be in this moment and share this. This is so beautiful.
There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Nowhere else
I should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just wanted that moment to last forever. And then I had to say stuff. So that it stopped. It was the only time I even thought of anything like in a sense, from an emotional sense up until that point, because I had been so wrapped up in just trying to execute.
I completely agree with your answer. It's much more complicated than my answer, which is just no, it did not make me nostalgic for our wedding.
And that is my answer too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It made me nostalgic in the moment for what just happened 5 seconds
ago. It made me more nostalgic for them, for their relationship, for everything we had shared with them and for the first weekend we met and every date ever since, from when, they were still dating in secret to when it became public. Like, just their whole relationship flashes before your eyes if you've known the couple since they've known each other. And so it was more nostalgia for them. It had nothing to do with us.
100%. Yeah. I never thought about our wedding.
No.
I was thinking like how magnificent it is that we literally, first of all, saw this guy from the beginning of his, I feel like the beginning of his life in a way. Like he had his Salesforce life and then he had his bachelor life. We're at
the
top saw of him the come out of the bachelor womb. Yeah, we were like giving him a spank on his ass. So we saw that and we saw Natalie from like hours from where they started.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just felt this like, it was a real, I almost was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But then I realized I had something I needed to do. So I got back to it.
Yeah, I felt more in service of them than it being about us.
Yes.
So no nostalgia.
Which is another reason why we didn't ham it up too much. Like we kept the comedy, to a minimum
30,
because
to a 30
to a 30. Yeah.
So Andy, one of the reasons we are able to provide free content, I mean, people are watching this for free, listening for free, is because of sponsors like AG1.
This is true.
We love us some AG1.
Oh, we do.
We drink our AG1 every single morning.
Every single morning without fail. As a matter of fact, we travel with our AG1. You could say we don't leave home without it.
We really
and no one's ever said that before. Right here, invented.
So AG1 is our foundational nutrition supplement. We drink it every single morning. It has our vitamins, our minerals, our pre and probiotics, our whole food sourced ingredients, plus other ingredients that help with your immune health. It really is a one-stop shop.
And I know when I've forgotten. Once in a while, I forget because I get busy in the morning. I get some call or something. I got to deal with it. And suddenly I'm like, why do I feel a little sluggish?
Yes.
Why haven't I gone number... numero dos.
I swear, I feel a difference when I drink this in the morning. I feel like a little perk up of energy. I feel more focused. I feel more regular. All the things. It's just, it's the kind of thing that you don't appreciate when you feel it because you start taking it every day. And then when you miss a day, you're like, oh.
And you know what? I don't feel the need to drink coffee in the morning anymore. Oh. I've actually delayed my coffee drinking by 2 or 3 hours.
Which is pretty massive. And get this, AG1 is tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is.
Why isn't everyone doing that?
I agree. It's actually gross when you think about it. Honestly.
Yeah, I'm drinking that every day.
Yeah, every single day. 950 contaminants. I love that they are so on top of it. They were really rigorous over at AG1. Yeah. They are on their 52nd iteration of their formula. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond the industry standards.
And that's that extra layer of confidence, of comfort, that you know you're being taken care of.
No. Oh, swaddled?
Swaddled.
Isn't that what we all want?
Yeah, we want to be babies.
Yeah, I feel like whenever we advertise anything, we're like, how can we feel swaddled in some way?
It's like my formula. Yeah. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1.
Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, plus 5 free travel packs with your first subscription when you go to drinkag1.com/dearshandy.
That's drinkag1.com/dearshandy. Facts are facts. And the fact you need to know is that Factor is the best.
Andy, facts are facts. You're right. Factor is the best to have in your fridge, on hand, ready to go. Delicious, never frozen prepared meals, chef prepared meals, delivered to your door. You store them in the fridge. You just heat them up. It's the convenience of delivery, but without delivery prices, without waiting for delivery to arrive to your door, but you still get that restaurant taste we always talk about.
And you get that feeling. There's a Factor feeling
that
when the Factor's in your fridge, you're like, oh, I've got Factor in the fridge.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about calling for delivery. I don't have to worry about cooking my food. I don't have to worry about ingredients. I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
I just stuff it in the oven and I'm done.
The Factor feeling. I know what that feeling is. You know what it is? The feeling of a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going hungry. You're never frustrated. You're never like, ugh, I didn't buy the right ingredients. You're good to go. You know that you're making a healthy decision because not only are those meals chef prepared, but they're dietitian approved. And they even take into account diet. So let's say you're keto or you want extra protein or you're watching your calories. Maybe you're vegan. They have all these options for you. So you're always making a healthy choice.
And with 35 meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you always have variety.
Yes.
I'm always surprised.
Yes. You never get bored. Meanwhile, with Factor, they have so much variety. They have different cuisines, like cultures.
Yeah, you can travel the world.
Yes.
And never leave your couch.
Yes. So head to factormeals.com/shandy50. That's shandy50. And use code shandy50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next month while subscription is active.
Again, that's code shandy50 at factormeals.com/shandy50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next month.
Do you feel more responsible to stay together after officiating?
What? Wait, us?
I think
so. To stay together, like not to get divorced?
I think so. I thought I would throw that one in there for fun. Yes, we did get
you know
that
what?
Question.
Honestly, I will make a confession here.
What?
Until we finish this officiating, I was actually planning on asking you for a divorce.
Oh, yeah. Shucks.
But now we're good.
Okay, so how long do we have to last before you ask me for a divorce?
I think officiating will demand another at least 7 years of marriage.
Damn. Yeah. That's very costly for you.
Yeah.
7 years. You know, 7 years is a lot for you.
It's worth it. It was worth it. It was a beautiful experience.
Okay. Now I have a couple of questions lumped together in one question. Will you officiate my wedding? Would you be willing to officiate for fans too? How does a shandy hire y'all to officiate their wedding? New side hustle?
This is very sweet. This is what I'm going to say. If you are or are related closely to a Saudi oil prince, we will definitely officiate your wedding.
I think this- this would be super hard to do if you weren't close with the couple. I am amazed by people who make a business out of this. Like, there are people who do this. They're like efficient for hire.
Look, as I said, and I'm sort of half joking, but I'm not joking. Like, I would do this, but this would be
for the right price.
For the right price. I don't know what that price is, but it's definitely not low.
I mean, it was a lot
of work. Yeah, it was a lot of stress, and it's going to be even harder to do it for someone you don't know.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll do it, but you know.
Okay, so now ceremony questions. How did you make your introduction to the ceremony? So I think I'm going to say this because I think it's been revealed in like the New York Times article or whatever, but we walked down the aisle.
So parents went first,
mm-hmm.
and then we went.
Yes.
And then Nick followed us.
Yes. Did you use a template for the vows or have them write their own? They wanted to do their own vows, and they were gorgeous.
Yeah, they were really beautiful.
They were really, really beautiful. Yeah. Tell us about an unexpected moment during the ceremony.
Do you want to talk about the dress?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was, to me, the most unexpected moment.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. So Natalie walks down the aisle, and she's situated, and they're holding hands, and it's about to start. Andy starts the speech.
Yeah, I actually got quite a ways in. I was like probably a full paragraph. 30 seconds in.
Yeah, and then Natalie's like, no, wait. I think my veil is bunched up behind me.
And it
Can
was.
Can someone fix it? And so then she had some brides. Well, one person came and fixed it, but didn't actually fix it. Like, it was still twisted. And then some two other bridesmaids came and like fixed it. And it was such a great moment.
I was
so proud of her. I was like, yes. And then when it was fixed, she was like, okay, we can start again.
Yeah, and I was like, from the top? And she's like, from the top. And I just started again.
This, by the way, perfectly demonstrates what it is about Natalie that like speaks to me and that I admire about her. That it's really a trait I don't possess myself. I think I've told the story before. For our wedding, a huge regret I have is walking down the aisle. Everyone had chosen their seats in the ceremony, and for some reason there were too many seats, which I don't know why. But basically everyone was sat like towards the back because no one feels comfortable sitting in the front at a wedding. And as I was walking down, I remember seeing all these empty rows at the front, and I was like, that's not going to look good.
Yeah.
I was like annoyed. I was like, in the photos, it's going to look like no one was at our wedding. But because I was already walking down the aisle, I just didn't say anything.
Well, it takes a lot of balls.
It takes Natalie Joy balls.
She's got huge balls.
She does have balls, and I love that about her. And now all the photos of our ceremony, I'm unhappy with because it looks like no one's at our wedding. And they've all been like cropped strategically because of that. I think I've shared this before in our wedding story. So anyway, I just love that Natalie did that in this moment. I was like, yes, you go, girl. Like, it's your wedding day. Make it right exactly how you want it. And she did. Yeah. And it was an unexpected moment.
It was.
It was very unexpected. Was the baby a part of the ceremony? If so, which part? I think we can share this because I think that this was also in the New York Times article.
Yeah.
Do you think? She came out with River in her arms.
Right.
And walked for part of the aisle
with
River and then handed her off to her mother.
Yes.
It was a beautiful way to incorporate her, I thought.
Yeah.
Did Nick cry?
Oh my God. Did Nick cry? Did Nick not cry?
Oh, it was so
sweet. It was so cute because before we started walking out, like just when we were about to start the procession, Nick said to us, he's like, oh, I'm going to get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, go for it. Just let it out. You know? Because of course, why not? Who doesn't want to see Nick emotional?
Yeah.
So as soon as we get up
there, it's about you.
It's all about me.
Oh no. I think it's so touching when when a groom specifically cries.
Yeah. And as soon as we got up there, by the, what do you call that, an arch? What do you call
the flower.
Flower arch. I'm sure there's another word for it.
Well,
we're going to get Shandy's telling us. But we're sitting there and he just started crying. Like he kept trying to stop himself from crying.
Yeah.
And it was just really sweet.
It really was. Did you make it through without crying?
We had a job to do.
Yeah.
Like, believe me, I wanted to cry. There was that moment I was having, that transcendent moment where time kind of stopped.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should probably cry a little bit. And my brain's like, no, we got a job.
Yeah, same. Like, you know, in singing, I can't cry.
No.
Like if try singing and crying at the same time, it's basically impossible.
Yeah.
And I've learned that
Crack.
Like early in my career, I got too in character, too in the moment, and I start crying. And then your voice just like, you have no, it goes out the window.
Yeah.
So
it's like trying to sneeze and wait, what are the two things you can't do at once? Sneeze and sneeze without blinking.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
You can sneeze and not blink at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like we couldn't officiate and cry at the same time, personally. Like, I just had my game face on in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I was crying on the inside. There were a couple moments that I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're on to friendship, fun, and fashion. This is the other category.
Friendship, fun, and fashion. Yeah,
there's a lot to cover.
It's a lot. That's very broad.
I know you met through the show, but how did you end up such good friends with Nick? I find it funny when this gets asked because I always forget that people did. You know, basically, the kind of person who asked this didn't see me, I guess, on my season and like and didn't follow me, I guess.
Right.
I, a lot of people joined for Dear Shandy, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But for more than half of the time that we've been doing Dear Shandy, I had a blog.
You
called
did.
All the Pretty Pandas. And over on this blog, I recapped the show quite in detail for years. We're talking like 6+ years.
Yeah, for Flair magazine.
And for Flair magazine. And so on my blog and for Flair. And I also had a column, a relationship column. Like people would write in their questions and answer them. That's where Dear Shandy comes from, is that soon after my season on the show, I had an Ask Charlene column in Flair magazine. Okay, so basically I recapped Nick's season, which is Andy Dorfman's season, right after my own. And I always liked Nick. I always, he spoke to me.
I actually watched some of that season with you and I felt a kinship with Nick as well.
Yeah.
Just from watching his season.
Yeah. Nick just resonated with us. And like, I called him recently on my Instagram, my kindred spirit.
Yeah.
I instantly saw in him something that, I don't know, we both possess, I guess. And and it was clear in my recaps. And a lot of people honestly didn't like Nick on that season. He was sort of a villain of sorts. And so he came to New York later in his season to do like a GMA interview or something. Mm-hmm. And we met and like for a coffee and became fast friends. And then through me, he met you. And then it just came to a point where every time he was in New York, we would hang out for years.
Yeah. And sometimes you weren't in New York and I would just hang out with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wasn't there and you would just hang out.
Yeah. Every time, sometimes I'd make a trip to LA to visit friends. Like without you, we would hang out or with you, we would hang out. Anyway, so Nick's just been like a fixture in our friend, in our lives for a decade, truly.
And it, originally he slid into your DMs.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he has said since that he was sliding into my DMs because he was like interested, but I had already met you. I just started dating you.
He didn't know about that.
Yeah, he didn't know about that. And so I think that it started out with like a possibly romantic interest, but we just got along so well and he absolutely fell in love with you and vice versa. Yeah, that says so much about him, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many men who once they find out you're not actually available, they're like, okay, never mind. Who else is there?
I was so pleased by the way Nick received me.
Yeah.
Because I knew that Nick liked you and I knew that Nick would have wanted to date you. I mean, let's be honest. Like Nick's going to admit this too.
We've all admitted it.
I mean, it was clear.
And by the way, that moment lasted like two weeks. Yeah, yeah.
But when he met me, there's, as you said, it like could have gone so many ways that would have showed insecurity or just sort of toxic masculinity or something. And he just welcomed me immediately and was like, oh, this is how it is. I'm totally good with this.
Well, because he loved you.
Well, I could tell right away. He's like, I'm better with this than me just pursuing Charlene.
Yeah, yeah. You replaced me instantly. He absolutely fell in love with you. Okay. Did you ride the mechanical bull?
We did not. I didn't even see the mechanical bull.
No, but apparently there was one.
Yes. I heard people who had ridden the mechanical bull.
We were too busy getting a tour of the animals by Natalie's sister.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Who was so lovely. It was her farm.
Oh my gosh.
And we were petting baby cows and baby goats
and horses. Like really friendly horses. You know, some horses, like you go up to a horse and you're just like, I'm not sure this horse, what's this horse, going to bite me or smack me with its head? All these horses were just so into getting pet on their head.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
They were all dog-like animals, actually.
Every animal
on
that farm was a dog. They were so happy. And cats. And there were two cats.
It was so nice. So yeah, no mechanical bull, only real animals for us. Yeah. Was there anyone there that made you starstruck? For me, it's a no.
No, we met Josh Peck, who was on our podcast.
Yeah, he was actually really sweet.
He was
after
so sweet.
The ceremony. Yeah. He was like, you guys did really well. And we're like, hey, we had you on our podcast.
He's like, oh, yeah. That was really funny.
Yeah.
He was great.
But no one's starstruck is not a thing.
No.
For me. In general.
No, like I've been starstruck, but I don't know if anyone there rose to the level of starstruck.
No.
No.
And if I'm totally honest, like I'm so out of the loop that most of the famous people there, I didn't know who they were. Like, yeah. I didn't know who Jay Wow was until
like, well, after we had talked to her.
Yeah,
for a
we
while.
Had talked with her for a long time. And then afterwards, someone else was fangirling over her. Right, and right. I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Jersey Shore.
I've never seen 1 second of Jersey Shore.
I saw about 15 minutes. Okay. So I got you beat. Okay. Or I've lost. You know who I was starstruck by?
Who?
Charlene Joint.
Oh,
looking
Andy.
Absolutely spectacular. You looked like a 1940s pinup, but not a pinup like a dirty pinup. Like a clean pinup. Is there such a thing? Anyway, you look great.
Well, we can skip ahead to that question then. Give us all the details on Charlene's looks. And also, did they tell you what to wear?
Charlene, I think you have something to show our Shandies.
A big reveal?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
can I play the music?
Yeah, yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Ta-da! That's right. I am wearing a Skims t-shirt, and I mean, look at this fit.
Ooh, that is a stuff. Fit.
I mean, Skims. We've talked about several Skims products by now, but you know what we're going to talk about today, Andy?
I have a feeling we're going to talk about t-shirts.
We are. Tees.
Tees.
I mean, there's a time and a place for the perfect tee. Mm-hmm. It really can make or break an outfit if you think about it. It's a less is more piece.
Yeah, I respect
and
the tee.
And Skims has nailed the t-shirt.
You know what I like? I like that sleeve.
And let's not underestimate the importance of a good basic. Mm-hmm, a piece that can be dressed up or down, can be worn maybe under overalls or on its own as the main piece, the main event. Be worn sort of as an undershirt under a big bulky sweater or as the piece you wear out. Maybe you're going to run errands. It's just casual. Or you want to dress it up. I could totally wear this at night for a night out. It ticks all the boxes.
Yeah. I mean, you're really preaching in the choir here. It was I respect a good tee.
This is true. I am wearing Skims soft smoothing t-shirt in cocoa.
Ooh, I mean, that is cocoa. You know what? Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, is that brown? No, it's cocoa.
Well, and I'm proud of myself. I thought about just getting white and black, but I saw the cocoa and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, you need some cocoa that. In your life.
Yeah, I did need it in my life and I was right.
Uh-huh. You look good in cocoa.
Thanks.
I think cocoa might be your color.
Thank you. So shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X.
Plus get free shipping on orders over $75.
And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and Dear Shandy in the drop-down menu that follows. The answer to that is no. I asked Natalie if she wanted, well, we knew you'd be wearing a black tux, but I asked her if she wanted me to be wearing black specifically or anything in particular since, you know, we would be up there. And she said, no, wear whatever you want. But I personally wanted to wear black. Mm. I felt black was appropriate for officiating. And what I was looking for, I'll talk about my outfit now, was something that said both don't look at me and also made a statement, which was a really specific line.
You thread that needle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this was actually one of only two dresses I ordered for the occasion. And I loved it, but the first one I bought was too small, so I exchanged it for a bigger size. And like, it was so effortless coming together. This dress was
I haven't seen you feel that like
confident,
unwavering about a dress choice for such an occasion, I think ever.
Yeah, you know, it was almost helped by the fact that I was officiating. It really streamlined the options, right? Yeah. I'm not gonna make the same statement that I might make if I were just attending. And I don't know, I wanted something that that was black, but also felt like regal and like official. I don't know how to describe it.
You did. You nailed it. You nailed it to the point where if anyone suggested that it wasn't right, I know they have bad taste.
Oh, did anyone suggest that?
No, I'm just saying.
Well, one of the questions said, why are people saying that Charlene didn't? Why are people like not liking Charlene's look? I liked it. I was like,
the answer is that I would like to see what they wear.
I'm sure on Reddit, some people didn't like my outfit, but you know what? I loved my outfit.
But you know what? If you wear something that no one doesn't like, then you made a mistake.
Okay. And I knew I wanted a sort of old Hollywood hair with like a victory curl or roll or whatever it's called and a red lip.
I'm so impressed with your ability to just nail occasions. Yeah, you're just like, this is the occasion, boom.
My favorite thing to dress for is an occasion. You know, when it's just like going out at night with girlfriends, like I have a harder time putting a look together for some reason because there's just too many options. But when it's like black tie wedding, this is a black tie wedding, I was like, okay.
Oh, and how about the welcome party look?
Oh, both of us. I put together your welcome party look. Although... Do you want credit?
Why did they have to know that?
Okay. Well, do you want people to think that you put together that vest and plaid pants look?
Well, I okayed all the pieces of clothing.
Yes, you did.
I approved them and I approved the look.
My dress, I actually got at a sample sale in Paris like 6 years ago and never wore.
Wow.
The Maj dress.
Wow.
Yeah, several people were asking about that one. Truly, it's been sitting in my closet and I just couldn't bring myself to get rid of it, but I was also just never picking it to wear for things. It was a little Western, right, for my style. And when they said country chic for the welcome party, I was like, yes.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Truly, I was so excited.
I actually was, petting some cats and a horse. I was taking it aside from the welcome party. And I walked out of the stable and I saw a woman walking towards me. And I was like, wow, she is just drop dead. And then I realized it was you.
Oh, husband.
That's a true story. I'm not just saying that. It's not a thing a husband says. That actually happened.
This story, as sweet as it is, has me more concerned about your eyes.
Oh, my eyes are bad. There's no question. That combined. But you look great.
Thank you. Did you bring Ruby?
No.
We really were planning on it, actually. Like, I even had it registered through Delta that I was bringing a pet. Yeah. I was going to pay at the airport. We chose a hotel based on the fact that they accepted pets. And we really thought about bringing her because it was a farm setting. But it wasn't the right occasion. And I'm really glad we didn't.
Oh, it would have been
honest.
So distracting.
Yeah, we had to focus, like, big time. We were really nervous, you know. Yeah. And I just think worrying about feeding her, having her taken care of and taking for potty breaks.
Yeah.
We didn't have the time.
We actually asked Nick if we should bring the dog.
If we could bring it.
And he said, honestly, there are some animals on this farm that could eat your dog. And we're like, okay, we got it.
And he was right, actually. Yeah. Please address the People article misspelling your name.
I actually am not now. I may change my name to Andy Joint with an I.
Joint with an I, yeah.
Yeah, the name is Joint.
Do we even want
Andy
to address
Joint.
This?
I mean, this is the thing. Okay. This is why I say the world is coming to an end.
Uh-huh.
Was People magazine was the beacon of tabloid magazines at one point.
Well, not even tabloid. People was like a step above tabloid.
Yeah, no, a tabloid. When I'm generalizing, I don't mean like Inquirer level. I mean like, you know, things you see in the grocery store when you're about to check out.
People magazine is like a respectable magazine.
It's like the Time magazine of not Time magazines.
Totally.
And all it would have taken was literally one Google search that a two-year-old could have done to get any of that right. But the amazing part is they didn't get one thing wrong. They got every single thing wrong.
Yeah, they got my first name wrong, my last name wrong, and then they also gave you my last name. And they didn't have Levine in there at all.
The only thing they got right is the name Andy.
It was shocking, honestly. When I saw that, my sister sent it to me, and I was just like, I was shocked. How is that even possible? Like that it's just so insane to me that no one would fact check. And look, it's not that I think we're so important or anything. It's just like, how does that get published? Like, I triple check an email before I even hit send. And that's just to like somebody that I know.
But this is what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it's trickling up. People are like, oh, these kids with their phones. It's not the kids with their phones. It's the adults and it's the middle-aged people and it's the senior citizens with their phones.
It's everyone.
People are losing their minds.
Yeah, yeah. People, there's no attention to detail anymore.
No. It's just like, get it out and whatever. It's fine. Sure, we'll get some things wrong. But you know what? In the end, no one has the attention span to care.
Oh, God, that's dark. Okay, finally, what was your favorite part about Savannah? And by the way, this was both of our first time there. Your first time in Georgia, which is hilarious because you were the ordained minister.
My favorite part of Georgia was the biscuits.
Ah, yes. We polled you guys on Instagram about what restaurant to eat at, and the winner was the Old Pink House. And they had this biscuit that changed Andy's perception on biscuits.
But I'm going to be chasing that biscuit forever now.
Yeah, we should ask the Shandys, is there a spot in New York that sells a biscuit, like a true, really good Southern biscuit?
Yeah. True, though. Don't throw out a bunch of biscuit places. Really think this over.
We want one name. Because if people might say Jacob's Pickles, I've had the biscuit at Jacob's Pickles.
No,
it's not the same.
And by the no offense to Jacob's Pickles, they're running a very good operation over there. Not our thing. I want a 3 times as good as Jacob's Pickles biscuit. Sorry, Jacob's Pickles. We're not tagging them in this, right?
I don't think Jacob's Pickles cares about us.
You know what? All press is good press. They need less press. They can't handle the amount of people who go there.
Oh, I like literally the amount of press they have is one of the reasons I don't go there. I'm like, I can't be bothered to
literally,
wait
I don't go
there
because there's too many people.
Yeah.
As Yogi Berra once said, no one goes there anymore. The line's too long.
Okay. Any overall thoughts, Andy?
I, in all seriousness, thought this was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life.
Oh, are you just saying this because we're talking about it on a podcast episode?
No. Come on. You know who I am. I would be happy to shit on something. But I will say this taught me a lesson. If there's an opportunity to do something extremely meaningful and beautiful and sharing and impactful, always do it. Even if it's going to mean an immense amount of work, a lot of stress, frustration, it's worth it. Because I realized after this, I was like, wow, that was such an ordeal, but it was more than worth it.
Yeah.
Like I would have done twice as much stress and work to have that experience.
Yeah, totally. Especially after having had it. And it was just so special. You know, we actually talked about it afterwards. We marveled at how we would not have done it for ourselves.
No.
And that was a real lesson.
That was another realization.
Yeah, we talked about it and we were like, oh, like we would do it for dear friends, but we realized we would not do that for ourselves, which made us realize that we must therefore miss out on some sort of, you know, momentousness in our own lives or pride over something we've accomplished all the time,
right?
Because we won't take on it. I don't know. It feels self-indulgent to do it for us ourselves, but like, why shouldn't we?
And I think that this is a lesson that we're going to employ in our lives. And I think that's another thing. It's like, not only did we have this beautiful experience, but we had lessons learned that may change our lives. I think it's always important. The lesson here is always important to not avoid the hard things.
Yes. And lean into discomfort.
Yeah. And I also, not to make this all about ourselves.
It does sound like it's also all about Nick and Natalie.
No, but but in all seriousness, Nick and Natalie are a perfect couple. And I bet I'm going to make a bet.
Oh,
I'm going to do like, what was his name?
Who?
What's the guy's name?
Huh?
The guy I made a dollar bet about.
Oh, Kenny and Mari.
Oh, yes. Kenny and Mari. I'm going to make a $1 bet right now that this goes till death.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is forever.
Actually, not a dollar. I'm going to bet a significant amount of money. Okay. Who am I betting, by the way?
I'm not betting against
you. Is anyone taking this bet?
I agree with you.
This is going to death. And I have never been more confident of anything.
Okay.
More than Kenny and Mari.
Oh. I don't know if you needed to throw them under the bus.
I was very confident about them.
We just don't know them as well.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I want to add, just because I feel like the Shandys might like to know this, that Nick was one of the last people standing at our wedding. Our venue shut down and then we ended up finding a bar like across the street to have basically the after party. And we really, you know, people start dropping like flies, right? Like, you know, because to get back to the hotel, there were these trolleys.
Yeah.
And there was not a trolley leaving every 10 minutes. It was like, oh, we have a full trolley, we're going. And so many times people would come up to us and be like, hey, we have a trolley leaving. Do you want to hitch a ride?
Right.
And we were like, no, we're going to be here till the end.
To the end.
Yeah.
And actually at the very end, it was me and Nick's cousin standing on the reception platform, which was in a field.
The wooden floor.
And as we were leaving, that was the last trolley. Like we were going to be stuck in the middle of nowhere if we didn't take that trolley.
Yeah. Nick and Natalie were also leaving.
Oh, they were
like,
also,
everyone
they
was
were
done.
Ready on the trolley.
It was over.
They were gone.
The music was done. Lights were on. It was over.
It was totally over. And as we were walking off that wood platform, I was about to walk ahead of him and I said to him, I was like, go to the grass. He's like, what? I was like, just step onto the grass. And he did. And I was like, I'm the last one here.
Oh, Andy.
He appreciated it. He let me have it. And I was the last person who left that wedding.
Mm, how appropriate. That's a great place to wrap, Andy.
Yes.
It was a fantastic. I honestly can't remember the last time I had that much fun. We danced the night away.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good place to wrap. We will officially wrap. We'll stop talking about it. Thank you so much, Shandys, for your great questions. Hopefully this was, I don't know, helpful.
Yeah.
Was this helpful? Just informative. You know, I honestly do think more and more people are getting friends to officiate weddings. Yeah. So maybe this will be helpful for someone who's been asked to do this. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you. And that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok. TikTok.
Leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews. Tell your friends and generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye. Dear Shandy.